I'm Carol Bleymeyer. We're here today with Mary Abajay, an organizational development consultant and Washington area business leader. Welcome, Mary.
Thanks, Carol.
In today's segment of The Working Life, we're going to talk about holding grudges at work. And while revenge, spite, and loathing are not necessarily building blocks on a career path, they can be incredibly motivating.
And fun.
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of stories out there about employees who feel they were treated unfairly or fired for no reason, and then they went out to found some of today's most successful Fortune 500 companies. Still, there are other tragic stories about people holding workplace grudges who channel their energies in violent ways. So today we'll talk to Mary about when grudges and revenge can be motivating and when to seek help. Let's start by acknowledging that in this world of it's just business, there are human beings that work there, and feelings can get involved. So how do you know when you're too invested in your work, such that when something goes wrong, you immediately feel like you've personally been wronged and that you need to seek revenge?
Yeah, you know, and I just hate that expression, it's all business, because it's just not true. As you said, when you're in business, you're dealing with humans, and humans come with emotions.
Right.
And as much as we'd like to think that people act rationally, the truth is they don't. So if you're what people have to do is understand that when you're in an organization, that there are personal goals and agendas and organizational goals and agendas, and they don't always match. So if you're feeling wronged or slighted, you need to take a look at whose goals are you promoting, yours or the organization's. And being successful in an organization is a long haul. You got to take some wins and some losses. You got to give a little and get a little.
Other than things like starting a new successful company or going to a competing firm and then doing really well, are there healthy forms of business revenge?
Yes. And let's talk a minute to our listeners about what...
And we don't mean revenge as a dirty word.
No, revenge is not a dirty word.
Let's clarify.
Well, let's talk about what I look at good revenge and bad revenge.
Okay.
Good revenge to me is when you are trying to elevate, succeed, promote, do better for yourself and your organization. That's healthy revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bad revenge is when your main focus is on crushing someone else, destroying someone else, or just obliterating someone else at the expense of your organization.
Right.
Okay? So one is a positive focus on self. The other is a negative focus on the other. So things like, let's say you're going to win that client back and you work hard to be the best and win the client back. That's healthy revenge. Doing great on your next project. That's healthy revenge.
Mm-hmm. And most experts will say that there is an emotional payoff in holding a grudge in the workplace, but that at some point you need to let it go and you need to move on. How do you recognize if this is something that you're doing at work in a professional situation? How can you tell that you're doing this and you're really holding on to something that needs to be let go? How do you know that and let it go?
Well, you'll know it because you'll feel it. If your focus is on the other person and not on yourself, then it's unhealthy.
And by the time your boss tells you about it, it's probably too late.
That's right.
And you needed to recognize
that's right.
It.
So I'm going to give you four quick strategies.
Okay.
First strategy, cognitive therapy for yourself. This means literally teaching yourself to think about it differently.
Got it.
Reframe it, change that storyline in your head, look at it from a different perspective. When you feel those, when you hear those negative thoughts, change them. Secondly, an emotional release. For those of you who are more emotional, do one of those rituals. Write a letter, then burn it. Get a dartboard, anything that helps you move the emotion.
A bitterness journal,
The third thing would be just get busy doing something else. Fill your time up so you don't have time to think or feel it. And finally, this is my favorite one, actually take one step further and do something positive for the person to whom you feel wronged you. Say something nice about them in the press. Speak well about them to other people. Do something absolutely positive for them. It's really hard to hold a grudge and do something positive for someone at the same time.
We're here today on The Working Life. We're talking with Mary Abajay, and we're talking about holding grudges at work and when to know when those might be good grudges or when you need to let them go.
When good grudges go bad.
Yes. Film at 11. Now, we've actually seen probably simpler forms of revenge or sabotage in the workplace where one coworker might set up someone else to fail on a project, or maybe someone's not really being forthcoming with information because they don't want someone to get promoted over them. What do you do if you see this kind of behavior among coworkers or maybe from your boss? Mm-hmm. What if you do if you're in a working situation where there's a lot of sabotage and revenge going on and it's impeding you from succeeding?
Well, the first thing you have to do is name it. You can't do anything until you name what you see and you articulate what's happening. Secondly, when you name it, you have to lead from the position of what's best for the organization or the project, not what's best for you. So once you can do that and name what's going on and name the effect it's having on the project or the organization, then you can ask for different behaviors and strategies and really create clear agreements. This is the project. This is what we need to do in the project to be successful. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm requesting that you do. Be clear, be direct.
Okay. For thousands of years, revenge has been a natural instinct when you feel like you've been wronged. So I guess I have a couple questions along this line. What is it within us that causes this? And do you know or have any data or even anecdotal experience? Is this notion of needing revenge, is it more common among women or men, among certain age groups and specific professions?
I think yes. I mean, I think you'll find professions where people who are vengeful will kind of gravitate towards. And I think men and women both have it, but they show up a little bit differently. But I think what really causes revenge in our society is two things. One, I think genetically we come from a position of scarcity. There's little out there to survive, and we need it for ourselves. And secondly, we have a very individualistic culture here in America, and that's all about promotion of self at the expense of others. We don't think community first in this country, then self. We think self first and then community. So you couple that with scarcity, a slight wrong against you.
Even though we're living in a country of abundance.
I know. Yeah. But we still carry around a scarcity mentality. So you couple those two things together, and it's only natural that we immediately take offense and seek revenge, because if you're getting it and I'm not, then that's a problem.
Do you think it's worse here in the Washington, D.C. area because we're so surrounded and enmeshed with politics?
Yeah, because...
I mean, obviously, politics is everywhere. But this is what we live, breathe, eat, and sleep, whether or not we know it in this town.
Well, that's right, because with politics comes power.
Right.
And power always comes with revenge and grudges.
But let's actually talk about some warning signs, either within ourselves or with someone we know. What kinds of things should we be concerned about in the workplace or even with a spouse or a partner that we hear work stories from at home? If we feel like someone is maybe taking an injustice to the extreme and might be planning some sort of revenge, mm-hmm. whether it's professional or maybe violent, mm-hmm. what do you do?
Okay, well, let me give you some warning signs. This is, you know, how to, you know, look out for going postal 101. Three things I'd say that I'd ask you to look at. One is listen to the language that the person uses. Is it really high victim language? Is there a lot of blaming going on? Are there a lot of angry, really strong words being used when they talk about this event or this person?
And never them saying, wow, maybe I did something that
exactly,
was wrong.
Here's my contribution. Right. If it's completely one-sided, you need to look for that kind of language. Secondly, I'd ask you to look for, are they over-catastrophizing this? Have they just blown this so far out of proportion? Is this injustice reached, you know, biblical,
right.
you know, levels? Really watch that. If people are making this seem like the end-all, be-all, that's a problem. And thirdly, how obsessed with they are? You know, how obsessed are they with this?
Mm-hmm.
Have they created this so that's their only focus,
right.
that their entire life now is focused on this event or this person? So if you really see that going on, if it's a loved one or someone you know, you need to talk to them about it. You need to intervene. If it's a coworker, I would recommend having a discreet conversation with your boss. There's lots of employee assistance programs, but I wouldn't necessarily let it go. You have to trust your gut. If something's
right.
creeping you out, you need to do something about it.
Well, and we now spend so much more time at work every day,
yes, we
both
do.
Men and women. And so is it becoming more prevalent that we feel like work is consuming our lives and
yes.
therefore we're going to give maybe these kinds of injustices more weight or credit or be able to blow them out of proportion more than they deserve because we're taught and kind of trained to focus so mm-hmm. much on work, making us feel like we're successful and tying that into our self-esteem.
Yes.
Is that part of it?
It is. And people are leading very frantic lives these days. Look at how much, you know, we're all just teetering on the edge at the time. We have to get
right.
here, get there, and everything is all stacked up and has to all happen. You throw a couple of those things out of whack, along with keeping up with the Joneses, it's
right.
a very anxious, stressful time that we're living in.
Do you have any specific coping mechanisms for when it happens in that moment? You know, we just now talked about, you're driving, you're going 8 million places, and then someone at work does something wrong, and all these things kind of pile up in your head. Is there something you can, you know, instantly recognize where you say, I have to stop. I'm pulling the car off to the side of the road. I'm just going to sit and breathe and count to 10. Are there any things that you can do instantly to sort of not let these things pile up?
First of all, you have to set the intention that you're not going to let these things bother you. And you have to create strategies ahead of time. Like driving is a great example. One thing that I take around with me when I drive, because that's a great example when people want to seek revenge, is I instantly, the minute someone does something that annoys me, like cut me off, I instantly think, wow, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're late for something, or I'll even go so far as to say, you know what, I feel really sorry for that person that they're so stressed that they have to cut me off. Whatever you need to do to cope, you need to plan it ahead of time and think about it. You cannot get hooked emotionally by these things.
Right. Now, how can you tell if spite, revenge, or
a grudge,
if Kurt Cobain, how can you tell if it's controlling your life?
Oh.
How can you tell? Because sometimes when it's controlling your life, you don't know it because it's the only thing you can think about.
You know what? You do know it. You're just not going to admit it. Okay, first of all,
how do you admit it without feeling like
you're weak? Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, the first thing is it's going to be pretty easy because there's literally going to be this hard, bitter quality to your life.
Mm.
And once you really get quiet, you're going to know that. So I'm going to give you a couple of, you know, here are some things that's going on through. Okay, so do you live with a knot in your stomach, Carol? Do you anger easily at the tiniest of infractions? Are you truly happy when others fail or truly miserable when others succeed? And I don't mean the healthy Schadenfreude. I mean, does it really hit you viscerally? Do you spend more time worrying about others than about what's going on for you? Do you constantly compare yourself to others? Do you walk around thinking, I'm going to show them? And have you really lost interest and things that you used to love? In other words, are you focusing on creating the life you want or on destroying the lives others are creating? And that's really the key here. And we all know, by the way, if you answered yes to a couple of these questions, get help. They have made, I mean, there is no doubt anymore that, because grudge is about anger. There is no doubt that anger makes you sick. It will kill you. It will cause heart disease. It will cause all sorts of things. Get help.
And on that note, we're going to end it. And seriously, people, if this is something that you feel like you're dealing with or a loved one is dealing with, there is no shame in getting help.
No shame.
None at all. It's all the time that we have for today. Thank you again, Mary Abajay. If you have any questions for us here on The Working Life, you can contact us via Mary's blog at workingwisdom.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Bleymeyer.